We're sorry that Bobby won't be on tonight because of the downage in electricity. We'll keep going a little bit more, then we'll turn on Radio Paradise for you. In the remaining, we want to talk a little bit. We want to kind of discuss the future of literacy. Throughout the history of literacy, there are numerous examples of this where people say, Jonathan Swift said, I am the last person who will ever use the English language well. Well, he was wrong. It keeps on going. But almost every generation says the language is going to hell in the hands of the current generation. We've heard it often. I've heard it quoted by English professor, well, faculty members who should know better. The entering freshman cannot write a decent English sentence, which is so false in a couple of ways. First of all, language is not a matter of decency, at least not in the sense they meant it. And secondly, most people can write full and complete sentences. So every generation says it's really going to the dogs. Cell phones are going to cripple literacy in our time. What do you think, Susan? What's going to... Where are we in the history of literacy, the alphabet? Should we be wringing our hands?
Well, one of the things we know for sure is that language changes and changes and changes and changes. And so people... And often the changes are toward compactness, toward efficiency. So a less elaborated language is what we see often with young people's use of language in things like texts. They use words, letters for whole words. In fact, Steve even does that in his text to me sometimes. Where are you? So that's just showing how the medium affects the message, but it doesn't mean that we're disintegrating. One of the things that we've been seeing a lot of in the news, and one of the things that we worry about, or maybe I should speak for myself, is artificial intelligence and what artificial intelligence is going to do, maybe to language, but also to thinking. And of course, language and thinking are inextricably related. But if AI machines can generate essays good enough to fool college professors or to make them suspicious that, oh, a student didn't write this, somebody way smarter than a student wrote it, then I think we have to be somewhat concerned. We have to be concerned about the assignments people give that make it easy to just pull something off. You know, I mean, students have plagiarized forever, and it's because people are not looking for students thinking. They're looking for knowledge put down in ways that they think it should
clarify
be put down.
Clarify that a little more. So the kind of assignment that you're talking about, you go to the in the old days, we would go to the library and write it on index cards. Today, people go to Google and just pull it off Google, cut and paste it into their essay. Well, that would be a compiled essay. But also, you can buy plagiarized...
Well, and AI machines are doing that.
Right.
So, but then there... I'll say one thing about this. I directed the first-year writing program at the University of Nevada for several years. And one of the things I advocated is that we allow students to show themselves thinking about things rather than have finished arguments, allow them to show how they got to their arguments, how their personal experience and their knowledge, along with the knowledge that they discover, relate to each other. There's still too much, in my humble opinion, of professors asking for things that are easy to plagiarize because they're not the student's thoughts. They're kind of thoughts out there in the world somewhere. But the AI programs, there are new AI programs designed to detect AI-produced essays. And there are machines that can do skilled reading of those essays and programs that can skim documents and figure out what they're saying. And so are we approaching a day when you answered this one, Steve. Machine intelligence takes over the literacy business?
It could be. A lot of it generated... I'm coming back to a time when I was involved in legal action, long time ago, when there were IBM cards and electronic typewriters. And the attorney had put in a clause that was totally irrelevant to what my case. And he said, oh, we just put in the wrong mag card. So there's a lot of stock prose that is reproduced. And as you're saying, AI could generate the prose. AI could generate whether it is real prose or not. And then you've got a machine that can read it, literally read it aloud, or can just skim that for meaningful material. On the flip side, I was thinking of a Ray Bradbury short story. I think it's called The Winds of Mars. And the deceased authors, Shakespeare, Moliere, and others, have been sent to Mars after their death. And as long as people remember them and are reading their books, they stay alive. But if their words drift out of existence, then they die. The ghosts die. And the story is the three witches of Macbeth have been recruited. They're flying to Mars, and what they're going to do is exterminate the ghosts and thus put an end to all of classic literature. So it was thinking, even if our planet comes to an end due to global warming, the consequences of it, the extermination that we're talking about, there will be still libraries out there, perhaps overgrown by ivy, moldering, but the books will still be there. So my prediction is that the alphabet will outlast humankind.
Okay. Like animals that survive, that adapt and survive, learn to read.
We've got a dog that could probably learn to read. I think we're about done.
Okay.
We're sorry we couldn't bring you Bobby Tryon tonight. She'll probably be back. You'll have a chance to hear her. And I don't know whether Ms. Nichols, Radioactive, will be on as well. What we're going to do is snap on Radio Paradise. Hope that comes through. So thank you very much for listening to Ecotopia. It's been a pleasure. If Radio Paradise doesn't come on, we're going to go back to the beginning of our script and do it all over again. So,
no, we'll find a CD.
You better hope something comes on.
Uh-oh. You know what? I'm going to go find a CD.
We're going to go find a CD.
You tell people about...
Well, one thing I want to promote is...
that's a good idea.
We've got a concert coming up that... is being co-sponsored by KZFR, by the Chico Swing Band, and by my Saturday swing music show, a group called the Tiptons, an internationally renowned saxophone quartet, will be in town on Thursday, March 2nd. They'll be performing at the Butte Bible Fellowship from 7 to 8:30. We have a personal connection with one of the Tiptons, the baritone sax player, and I love her Barry sax. These folks do remarkable music. It's all original. They are all composers and singers. They use their voices. The most imaginative one of many imaginative ones, Sue Lurie, who's one of the one of the members of the quartet, one night in Seattle heard the sound of an Amtrak train coming in. And each Amtrak train, it turns out, has a different chord in its whistle. She took the chord she heard and turned it into a jazz saxophone quartet. But they do Middle Eastern music, they do klezmer, they do big band, they do Dixieland, but all with a brilliant original twist. So hope you come out and hear that. It'll be, again, at the Butte Bible Fellowship. That's over on Pillsbury Road near the North Valley Plaza, right across the street from the North Valley Plaza. 7 to 8:30, the Tiptons Saxophone Quartet. And Susan is pulling an album we're going to plug in. This would be the Tommy Emmanuel Center Stage album. And we'll see if we're getting anything on CD number 2. Takes a while to load. As always, we say, if you have ideas for shows, send us an email. You ready to roll on this one, Susan?
Yeah.
And that's number 11. You need number 1. Punch a button. There we go.
Okay.
Let's give it a shot.
I think that played the whole thing. We have to make it go to continue. Okay, here we go.
Get a friend up here. Look out, it's dangerous, Bob Littell. With his dangerous hop. Yeah, yeah. Got anything to say there, Bob? I think you just said it all. Job just getting by with 9 kids and a wife. I've been a working man dang near all my life, and keep on working. Long my 2 hands are fit to you. And I drink my beer in a tavern and sing a little bit of these working man blues. Well, I keep my nose on the grindstone and work hard every day. Might get a little tired on the weekend after I blow my pay. Working. Come Monday morning, I'm right back with the crew. I drink my beer in a tavern and sing a little of the working man blues. Sometimes I think about leaving, do a little bumming around. Throw my bills out the window and catch a train to another town. But I go back work. I buy my kids a brand new pair of shoes. I drink my beer in a tavern and see a little bit of the working man blues. Here comes the working man, baby. Monday morning, I'm right back with the crew. And I drink my beer in a tavern and sing a little bit of these working men.
Our supporters, and by Northern Star Mills, serving the North Valley with farm, garden, and pet supplies since 1898. Northern Star Mills offers natural and organic soil amendments and fertilizers, as well as natural holistic pet supplies. Northern Star Mills is located in downtown Chico, across from the Bidwell Mansion. And by The Printed Image, providing screen printing and embroidery in Chico since 1980. The Printed Image opened Monday through Friday, 9 to 3, and by appointment, More information by calling 530-898-9525. Today on North State Local Voices, I'm going to interview Pam Leary, and she's with the Butte County Local Foods Network, which most of you probably have heard about. And we've done other interviews, and it's growing. I know you're growing, and I know it's a good thing. Tell me what's happening now. I know that February was an important month and still is. And then in March, you've got some things coming up. So yes. Welcome, Pam. I'm happy
Thank
to see you back.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me on again. It's always so fun to talk with you and the community. I love our community. I love KCFR. I love you. So it's a love fest.
It is a love fest.
But anyway, yes, it's time to start growing, folks. You know, we can talk about some reasons why a little bit later if you'd like to, but you know, just to update you on what we're doing.
Yeah.
Sherry Scott from Harvest and Habitats, we work closely with her. She is the gem, our blessing of a seed person and plant person here in our county. Every time I speak with her, I just so appreciate and feel so blessed that she is here. She's the person who does the plants for the Blitz. Yep. But anyway, so she's been involved with the seed swap this is the 14th annual seed swap, and it went through different permutations. And then I guess it was 3 or 4 years ago, we picked up because the people that she'd been working with kind of disappeared. And so we wanted to support her work. And so we've been coordinating with her to do the seed swap. And this year she said, hey, let's do, you know, a month long celebration. And we've already got plans to expand it next year. Like my idea would be to have a farm to fork that has a bunch of seed dishes in it. Anyway, you know, just all sorts of weird fun stuff. But this year, what we have is we already have the seed swap here in Chico. On February 4th. And then this week in particular, we have a number of workshops, which you can go to our website and talks and stuff like that.
And while you're looking that up, I just want to say something about Sherry and Sherry Scott, who has a little plant shop here.
Harvest and Habitat.
Harvest and Habitat right here on Park and 17th. And I had interviewed her and she talked about this swap, which was just so interesting. And I would imagine that was pretty successful this year and good.
It was amazing. Yeah, it was amazing. And, you know, we partnered with her and Paradise Seed Lending Library and us. And then the co-op brought treats. Trinity Methodist let us use the space. Mm-hmm. We had people there tabling Butte Environmental Council from the ground up. Yeah. We had Synergy Seeds. We just had, you know, it was just, you campfire restoration project. It was just amazing. We did a clicker this time and over 150 people came. That was stopping counting around 1 or something when the person had to go. So it's just very, very exciting.
That happened. I saw some pictures of that day and I could see that it was a lively happening.
It was amazing. Yeah. It was just truly wonderful. Happy people.
Okay. Okay. So let's see. All right. I brought up
the schedule. So we have a bunch of talks and many of which will already have happened by the time this airs, but we will still have, I want to invite you to the nursery crawl, which is actually organized by somebody else, but we really are excited about that project where you get to go to different nurseries and a lot of them will have specials and all sorts of information and good times. I don't know how many nurseries are involved, but you can find out more details. You can find out at localnursery.com. If you have any questions, that you know, you can get a hold of them via that website.
All right. And what are the dates on that again?
That is February 24th to the 25th.
Okay.
So that will be the end of our month-long celebration of seeds. And all I can do is invite you to keep an eye out for now. I mean, the year goes by so fast, doesn't it? I mean, when we're in the middle of it, it seems like it takes forever, but it goes by fast.
It's so true.
So watch for us next year and we'll have even more fun stuff.
The nursery crawl will be this weekend coming up and you can get information at, say that again?
localnurserycrawl.com.
Okay. The grand finale of the seed month of February. All right. Yes. So then looking into March,
we have our fourth annual Garden Blitz. We have installed over 280 gardens around Butte County since March of 2020. And we are so blessed to have a very robust scholarship fund this year. Chico Natural Foods had us as their roundup participants in December. And then Adventist Health has donated quite a bit to help support people growing more food as a part of their Healthy Communities initiative, which they're going to be talking about more in the community as time goes on. But just so excited and thankful and grateful for them around this. So what does that mean? So it means, so in Chico, we are asking that applications be cut off at February 28th, okay, because the Blitz is actually the March 10th to the 12th. Installations are on the Saturday and Sunday, the 11th and 12th. And what are we talking about? What's going to get installed? So a garden package, whether you purchase by paying for one or you get a scholarship garden, it includes a raised bed box made out of wood of either redwood merch or cedar, whatever we have available. It comes with soil, healthy, beautiful soil, plants, and mulch, and also hardware cloth will be staple gunned to the bottom of the box for critter control. And for people who don't know what hardware cloth is, it's like a very, very tiny hole, chicken wire, but stronger, very small hole so that the critters can't get through. And then what happens is we have these staging sites in Chico. Jessica McKenzie, this will be our third year with her, I think, second or third year. And she's just opened up her space to us. It's a great space. It's got a U driveway. And so people come there. You can either sign up as a single or come with a friend or a team. A team usually involves 3 to 4 people. If you come with a team, you'll need a truck.
Sure.
Because we need people with trucks. So what happens is you come there and you as your team, you load up. First, the soil is dumped into the truck by a tractor with a bucket, and then you put on the bed, and then you add the, you know, all the other ingredients. Everybody gets in their truck and car and goes, to people's houses who have ordered these gardens, and you install it for them. It's just really a lot of fun. Just seeing the videos that have come in and the pictures, and one time, the recipient of the garden cooked everybody a brunch. So they ended up sticking around and having a really good time making that connection. So it's a way to create community. I kind of look at it as kind of like a barn raising of old where we're supporting each other to grow more food. Yeah. So that's how it works.
So that's for Gridley and Chico.
Correct? From Chico to Gridley will be March 10th to the 12th.
Okay.
The deliveries and installations are on the 11th and the 12th.
And you get and the application to be a person considered for this is the 28th of February.
Right up is the 28th of February for Chico.
Okay.
And so the installations are on Friday and Saturday. I mean, on Saturday and Sunday. And on Friday, we construct boxes. So in the past, we had 100% people in the community construct. But for the last 2 years, some schools have helped us out, or the last year and then this year again. So Chico Achieve will be constructing about 20 boxes for Chico, and we'll still need the community support to continue that. You don't need a truck for Friday. You don't need anything. We have drills and screws and all that kind of stuff. If you have a drill, it's always helpful to have extras, but you would just come to the staging site and put the boxes together for installations for the next day of however many more we have above 20. And then we're taking a weekend off as a break because it's a lot of work. And then the 24th to the 26th, we'll be installing gardens on the ridge. So that's both Paradise and Magalia. And then also in Oroville itself.
Okay.
So and all the way to Thermalito, but we're not going to necessarily go up in the mountains because people have gotten stuck.
So that same time frame in that on Friday you make the boxes, correct, and then the following 2 days is when you go out and install.
Correct. Okay. And so there's a lot of communication ahead of time to coordinate. I send out emails.
Yeah.
We call people before we deliver. We ask that they be available. All that kind of stuff. So we've got this whole system worked out.
Do you need volunteers to make the boxes? Sounds like you've got kids or schools.
Well, we do have schools, but we'll still probably need some help because we'll probably have over 20 boxes in Chico. So last year, Peak Chico Achieve helped, but we initially told them X because that's how many we thought there would be, and it ended up doubling that, and it was like 40-something boxes, and it was just a bit much for the school. So this year, we made an agreement with them. They love the opportunity for the kids to be able to help. The kids loved it. Valley Contractors Exchange, bless their hearts. They're the ones that go out and supervise the construction. You know, they have this amazing project where they have a mobile educational construction thing where you can, if you buy the materials and get the volunteers, they will come out and teach you how to do construction. They already did doors on our greenhouse at our community garden in Vecino last week. So they're great. So they're the ones that are helping with that. Take, like I say, it takes a village to make to do a blitz, you know.
So they make the boxes, put the wire on the bottom so that when people, so those are the things that are in the trucks with the dirt that go to the houses where they're going to put the garden.
The hardware cloth will be all cut ahead of time, and then all people have to do on the day of construction is just staple gun them to the boxes after the boxes are put together.
Put together at the person's place. So the people that have done the
That'll be at the site. Okay. So the box itself, so we transport a ready and already made box with the hardware cloth
already in it. So then, and so in the on the application, people sort of say what they envision, what they need, one box. How many people apply?
Well, so far we have applications for 23 boxes.
Okay.
In the past, it's been as many as 60 in a blitz. You know, sometimes, you know, in special circumstances, we might consider doing two if there's plenty of garden, you know, capacity to do that. But generally speaking, they get one. All of the scholarship boxes are 4x4 foot. Okay. If you want to purchase one, you can purchase a 4x4 foot garden package for $150. Okay. And if you go online, you will see that's an incredible deal. It's basically just a little bit of above cost.
Sure.
And a 4x8 is $275. But you have to remember, it's all there. It's a complete garden and installed. And if you go to Lowe's, you'll see that a garden box that size is usually at least $250. Yeah, just for the box. So it's a great deal, even if you end up purchasing, and knowing that when you purchase, you're supporting, you know, the community, and
the
you're
thing.
Also supporting yourself. Yeah.
Your family. I love the idea that they come, they put the box, they put the dirt, and then together, I'm sure with the person, you put the plants.
Right. Anyway, any amount
in a
of
day, involved. They have a garden.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, in a couple hours, actually, because, you know, I like to tell people when they volunteer, generally a lot, about 2.5 hours for the first garden. And then if you want to stay longer, you know, it's anywhere 4.5, because, you know, you're more in the flow then.
Yeah.
You know, it's 4.5. It's like, but, you know, figure 2.5 per garden.
Oh, people must be so pleased.
They are. They're very excited. And, you know, the community that installs, like I've had a number of people who said, I'm just going to come for one garden. And then they end up doing two. And oftentimes they come back again the next day because it's very satisfying, you know, to volunteer and, you know, see the delight on the homeowner's faces.
Yeah.
And last year, and I hope he can make it this year, but he's got a full-time job. We had a great young man from Oroville named Ife Saint. And he also did a video. I'm trying to get it so that I can download it and share it, but of his experience. And he was just wonderful. And you can tell it in the delight in his voice, every time he's talking with somebody.
And
he was great. He was so helpful.
So the boxes stay there. So someone who gets a box, then it becomes their garden to deal with. The next year, they bring their dirt, they get their plants. This is a good starter for people to get their gardens going.
Right. This is just to start your garden. Like, so when we first envisioned this project, we had hoped to be able to also provide mentoring, right? Because we're trying to encourage new gardeners. That kind of got kiboshed because COVID, right? Okay. But we're starting to rebuild that concept and doing our best to be able to offer that again. And we have about 4 people who have said that they will mentor, and now it's just a matter of us figuring out the system and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So how are we going to get there? Master Gardeners has great, you know, again, partnership. It's really important to collaborate. Master Gardeners program has a hotline that people can call in the meantime. And they, unfortunately, they are not, it is not part of their policy to go out to gardens to provide one-on-one coaching. But sure, it would be great, you know, if they would feel comfortable doing that. And we're, you know, we continue to work on that because it would be a great service for the community.